We heard about our Apostle Paul as he traveled from the area of Asia into Europe and came to Philippi and met with some of the ones there who gathered at a place, as the scriptures tell us, where prayer was wont to be made. Evidently, these dear ones did not have the community established for a synagogue, and so they met for prayer at a place quietly by the riverside and had opportunity to share. And so as we bring our hearts together at this time and share in these thoughts and meditations which our brother Mark has prepared for us, and we have the opportunity to dwell in together with him, we leave this in his care. Brother Mark Chastain, Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Gray. Thank you, brethren, for giving us some more of your time. And we also want to thank the Grays, Jonathan and Becky, for putting up with us. We appreciate their hospitality very much. Brethren, tonight we would like to concentrate on where we're going to be going. Not after this, but after our lives. Now, maybe you're looking for a home, and I think we can probably help you out. You might be looking for something short or long term, and we have a couple of selections for you. Both will take time and money to fix up. We have this one here. It's going to take some time and some effort and some money to fix that up, and you'll have a nice home, though. Or you can take time and effort, and you can go here for eternity, which is the Pleiades. It also has a very nice backyard. Brethren, we're all longing for home. The things you'll see tonight on the screen, none of those are computer generated. Every one of those are from your tax dollars at work getting the Hubble telescope. They had never understood the vastness of God's creation until they got Hubble up there. They have taken the Hubble telescope and put it into a black space in the sky and let it sit there for an hour and see what they get. And they see galaxies all over the place. We read in Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth. We read that as just, a phrase. Can you imagine creating all of these things? How long it would take? A very short sentence, but of mass amounts of work. We'd like to read, if we could, as Mike to come down and read, the June 3rd manna text. Your brother also discusses a little bit of the things that we see in the heavens.
The magnificent pageantry of the heavens daily and nightly should elicit our praise and adoration and should inspire in our hearts holy and reverent devotion. Let the noiseless activity, the perfect obedience to divine law, and the blessed shining of the heavenly hosts impress their wholesome lessons upon us of zealous activity without commotion or ostentation, of perfect obedience to the will of him who doeth all things well, who is too wise to err and too good to be unkind, and of letting the glory of the Lord, which has illuminated us, shine from us in turn upon every beholder.
Does the majesty of the heavens elicit your praise and adoration? Brother, if you see here, you'll see some clouds. These are gaseous clouds in the universe. Some of those are bigger than our solar system. And the same God that takes care of you every day takes care of this. Do we have a desire to be with the Lord? We think we do. And we'd like to sing together, if we could, As Pants the Heart for Watered Brooks. Brethren, men have fought and died for many reasons. Just a few. Some have died and fought for money. Others for peace. And others for love, liberty. But it is unique in the history of mankind and was not born before our Lord and will never happen again after us, that men have been called to lay down everything, even life, for a hope and a great redemption. And what is our reward? That one day we might know and converse with God and our elder brother, Christ Jesus. This is the hope that we long for. And this is our home. Is it real to us, brethren? We hope it is. It's as real as these stars. There's no way that that could have happened through evolution. And there's no way to keep going without it. It's as real as we are standing here today. So let us go to the mountain and sing another hymn. Come all you saints to Pisgah's mountain. Brethren, we're going to see if we can fix this real quick. I know it's hard to see. Everything in computers is magic.
Thank you.
now have reading number two.
All wish frequently, no doubt, that the testings were all over and that we were accepted to a place amongst the overcomers. But patience and faith and trust are to do a refining work in our hearts, making us mellow, willing, and obedient to the Lord. Let the good work go on. Let us rejoice if our trials have brought us lessons of any kind that are profitable to us. Reprint 3001.
Brethren, do we wish frequently that our testings were all over? If you answer yes to that, that means you wish you were dead. If we have nothing to live for but our Lord, then we're okay, aren't we? Once again, let's sing together, If I in Thy Likeness, O Lord, May Awake. Brother Stein mentioned earlier he likes stories. We have one for the brethren. It used to be Chastain get-togethers were times when people sat around and talked the truth because most of the brothers were consecrated. It's not that way anymore. But I remember on one occasion back in the 80s, there was a big discussion about a date that someone had set in the 1980s. And there was a very positive discussion of how we shouldn't think about that and so on and so forth, not consecrated to a date. Well, shortly after the Chastain get-together, my uncle, Keith, went home, got up in the morning, hopped in his truck, and died. Just like that. 1980 didn't matter to him. All the other dates didn't matter to him. His mortgage didn't matter to him. Anything else he had didn't really matter to him. Because he was on the other side. We should welcome death, brethren, but not commit suicide. And that's a hard position to be in, isn't it? To build for the future, we have to put treasures in heaven. Treasures are what we spend the most time on, what we put the most money into. What we make the most effort on are our treasures. We'd like to have reading number 3, if we could. And we want to talk a little bit about what treasures are.
Pleasure, delight, joy, comfort. All these sentiments are suggested to us by the word treasure. Our thoughts, our hopes, our plans center there. Our treasure is the inspiration of our lives, the incentive to energy, perseverance, and endurance, for the hope which it enkindles. Most people have treasures, but they are generally such as yield slight satisfaction because they are transitory and disappointing. How many have built their hopes upon earthly things only to find them but elusive babbles, mocking delusions, leaving the heart at last broken, crushed, and barren? The treasures of wealth, fame, social distinction, of houses and lands, of friends and home and family, of power and influence, are subject to change and decay. And if the heart be centered in them, they are liable in a moment to be swept away, leaving the life desolate and despairing, all the more so because of the high hopes which they had inspired.
Have you ever had a treasure like that, brother? I bet you have. Maybe some even after consecration. You think you're going to get that promotion, or you're going to get that new car, whatever. Let's continue on, if we could, in this reprint, with reading number 4.
The wealth, laboriously gathered and husbanded with great care, may vanish in a night. The fame, so dearly won, may change to censure and reproach at the caprice of fickle public sentiment. The social prestige, which bade you to the uttermost seats, may a little later relegate you to the lowest seat, and your name may be cast out as evil, and you be ostracized. Houses and lands and carefully hoarded belongings may disappear under the sheriff's hammer. Friends long trusted may suddenly grow cold and turn their backs upon you, and even become your enemies. The home you love most sometime break. The home you love must sometime break up. The family be scattered or invaded by death. The love that glows upon the home altar may flicker and become dim or extinct. How many have found the high hopes of youth and early life turn to ashes in a few short years or months?
Thank you. We doubt if any of the brethren have a problem with fame, or you wouldn't be here. You probably don't worry about public sentiment. Now, we all have some sort of a fear of men's faces, which we try to get over. But what about our houses, brethren, our lands? Recently, we did some remodeling down in our basement, did a lot of the work ourselves, and we're very tired, and we're sitting there, and one of us, I won't say which one, said, "Well, this is beautiful until the Lord takes it away from us." Friends. What about friends, brethren? What about giving up brethren? What if they become your enemies? What about your family, brethren, if you lose your children? Are these our treasures? They can be wonderful things, but are they our treasures? Let's read together if we could. Ah, tell me not of gold or treasure. Sorry. Okay, reading number 5, if we could, please. 5. So, brethren, what can we do? That's the question.
The all-important question for those who seek this great treasure, then, is how can we lay up treasure in heaven? And what kind of treasures are those which are to be stored up in the heavenly depository? We have the assurance of the divine word that everything that is pure, holy, and good is acceptable there. The very chiefest of all treasures is the personal love and friendship of God and of Christ. Jesus becomes to us the fairest among 10,000, the one altogether lovely. He is an unfailing refuge in every time of need, our daily joy and solace and comfort. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Romans 8:35.
Brethren, we're actually pretty heady if you think about it. We declare to say that we know the mind of God. It's pretty arrogant if you think about it. If it wasn't for the fact that we know it's the truth. Have we taken the time from these assurances of the divine word that we have acceptance with the Lord? Have we taken advantage of the merit of Jesus Christ to keep our robes clean? If we have not, and they have become dirty or wrinkled, it is time to go and pray to the Lord for hard experiences to have them removed. Otherwise, you'll go to the cleaners with the great companies. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ, brethren? Nothing. We are the products of divine love. So we would like to sing together, Love Divine, All Love Excelling. That first sentence, we think, has a lot to it. You know, in the future, when the church in the world is celebrating Jubilee number 1 trillion, the new creature will be nothing but a past memory. Never before will this be offered. We'd like to read number 6 if we could. We think we can do some more building of treasures.
Other treasures will be all the true and noble friendships which have been founded in truth and righteousness here on earth, whether they be the spiritual or on the natural plane. For instance, one on the spiritual plane will not be disposed to forget or ignore the loving loyalty of a former friend who, from time to time, administered the cup of cold water to the thirsty soul battling with the heat and dust of life's desert way, and who did this because the one ministered to was a disciple of Christ. But especially sweet will be the spiritual friendships begun and cherished here, which will bloom and blossom in still greater vigor when transplanted into heavenly soil and atmosphere. And what a treasure we shall find in the gratitude and love of those to whom we have ministered here in times of special need, and to whom we have carried the living water and broken the bread of life. Who can measure the joy unspeakable that shall be the heritage of the faithful when we shall find all these precious treasures beyond the veil, when we view these treasures with unclouded eyes and realize that they are ours forever? Shall we not feel infinitely repaid for any sufferings and hardships we have borne in our brief earthly pilgrimage? Reprint 5862.
Thank you. Well, back, brethren, we were in a business meeting. We don't have really bad business meetings, but we have opinionated brethren, as you can imagine. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'll be with these people forever if we're all faithful. We might as well learn to love each other, because the friendships we develop today will be ours through eternity. Have you ever met one of the brethren for the first time and you just feel a kinship that you've never felt before? It's like you've known them all your life. You know some of their experiences. You know how you reacted, and you hear how they reacted. It's a kinship that is like no other. And that will be ours forever. Let's sing, if we could, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds."
Thank you.
Now it's time for our pop quiz, brethren. We all believe, I believe everyone here, that our Lord returned in 1874. How do we prove that? Someone give me an example.
Jubilees.
1,335 days, several proofs, right? We have that intellectually down, don't we? I wonder what Satan thought when our Lord appeared in the atmosphere. Oops. He's back. You see a rise in spiritism in 1878, brethren. He changes his tactics. He's scared. Let's talk about another reality. How do we prove that the sleeping saints were raised? What year were they raised? 1878. How do we prove that? Parallels. That's one proof, isn't it? I wonder what our Lord thought, and what the Apostle John thought when they first saw each other upon resurrection. We think it was a wonderful experience for both. What about Peter? We think it was a wonderful, wonderful experience for both of them. The Apostle Paul. Oh, the last time I saw you was on the road to Damascus. Because he saw our Lord in glory, didn't he? As one before the time. What about those that have died since then? Do you think our Lord is any less happy to see them? I don't think so. Though he had a previous relationship, it was as new creatures that mattered with the apostles. And it's the same with us, brethren. We'd like to read number 8, if we might. Did I give number 8 to someone? I thought I did. Okay, maybe they're not able to be here. We'll go ahead and read that for them if we could. There will be a glorious welcome, a joyous greeting, and a coronation jubilee among all the heavenly hosts when the laurels of victory are placed upon the heads of the overcoming soldiers of the cross. The heroes who nobly fought the good fight of faith, who kept the faith, fought the fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and finished their course in faithfulness even unto death. We hope that that's our experience. We hope it's yours too, brethren. The great company's not happy, though they're thankful. The little flock rejoices, and for eternity are grateful. Let's sing together, if we could, Triumphant Zion, Lift Thy Head.
Thank you.
Brethren, there's often things that keep us from letting go completely of the things of this earth that are not in themselves bad. There are things that we have fears on. As we talked about earlier, the idea of the vision tearing, it seems to. But the Lord stepped in and said, I'll take care of that. I'll tell them that it'll seem to. It'll be okay. Maybe you have experiences where you're worried that if you were to go, of your children. But that's taken care of in 555, in the sixth volume, where Brasel says that he, of course, would put you in charge of your families on the other side of the veil to help them through the experiences they might have by your loss. Whatever questions or whatever things we have that keep us from our full and total devotion to the Lord of putting these treasures in heaven, the Lord will take care of if we study His Word. We'd like to have, if we could now, in conclusion, reading number 9.
As the sun sinks at the close of each day and the shadows gather round us, how sweet to sing on one day near home. We have nearly reached the mountaintop, and every day multiplies the evidences that the journey is nearing its end. Just how long it will be, we cannot know. Probably it is best that we do not know. But we believe that it will not be very long. Reprint 5862.
Thank you. We think this is important, brethren. Just how long it will be, we cannot know. And probably, and I would say based on time, we can say assuredly, it is best that we do not. We trust that tonight's thoughts have elevated ourselves to some place other than where we're at. That we were able to think of some place other than our home, even if it is a fixer-upper. That we can look to that home in the future. And we can spend eternity with the Lord. We want to take this opportunity to thank the brethren that did the reading tonight. We kind of gave them a challenge, and we think they did a wonderful job. There were some that were resident to come down and be in front of all of you. But we asked them if they would to think about what was special to them in the readings. And you heard the emphasis, and those were not emphasis we put on, but theirs, because the Holy Spirit leads them also. We'd ask if our chairman could come, because we're a little bit, about 5 minutes early. And we'll go ahead and have our closing hymn if we could.
Through face with Christ my Savior, grace to face with.
Can we arise and dismiss with the prayer? Brother Bob, come on. Dear Almighty God, our beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and thy gracious name. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have to make our calling election sure if faithful. We thank you for the wonderful promises that thou hast given us, that you have not left us in ignorance of what we shall be or what we shall do, that we know that we will be with you and we will see thee as thou art. We do ask that thou would be with us now as we go our various ways, that thy Holy Spirit would be upon us, that we might be a help one to another, that we might lift each other up, and we might look forward to that time when we shall see thee face to face. We do commit the remainder of this time to thy care and to thy keeping, for we ask it all and thank thee through the merit of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen.
Brethren, of course, tomorrow morning, Brother Olby will be looking for you, bright and shiny. And we all would suggest, as you close your eyes tonight and think about the beautiful stars and the starry place, which we trust we will be able to join our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, as you close your eyes to meditate in the night watches. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
See you in the morning, everyone.
See what I mean? He's waiting for you already.